Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Optimal Health Program. I've promised to bring you some wonderful interviews, cover some terrific topics throughout health, fitness, wellness, nutrition, medical topics. We'll talk to a variety of different people that are preeminent and excellent in their field. And today we certainly have a young lady who is excellent in her field, and she has been doing some wonderful work over many years. For 13 years, she's done local sportscasting, and you'll know her from being on the Today Show for 9 years as a health and fitness and wellness contributor. Our wonderful guest today is the amazing Jenna Wolf. Hi.
Good morning. You know, whether you were going to use the word amazing, and I want to tell you, it was a great call. It was a great call on your part going with the word amazing.
Well, it fits. Thank you. You know, so there aren't many amazing people around these days, and you fit the category.
I don't know about that, but I'm very appreciative. So thank you very much.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And after watching you on the Today Show for so many years and being impressed by your drive, your energy, I think it's terrific to be able to get more people to see what motivates you, how you do your day, how you go through your fitness, your exercise, and people gravitate to that sort of thing. So there's always some wonderful information that you can impart to people, and that's what makes this the podcast exciting.
Great. And God bless social media for all of us being able to share all of this.
Yeah.
It's actually nice.
There's so much wonderful information, you know, that comes out. And, you know, voices can now be heard where, you know, it was very difficult for that to happen before. So it's very exciting. So let's see right off the bat. How did you get started in the broadcasting business? Was that something you always wanted to do? Or?
Yeah, you know, if you ask my parents, they'll say I was doing this, you know, before I was able to talk, which is telling stories and reporting, and everything was a microphone, my hairbrush, the toothbrush.
There you go. It was meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, I was entertaining from a young age. It always helps, I say to young people all the time, if you have any idea what you may want to do, you are such a leg up from everybody else.
Sure.
Because now it's just going out and doing it. And I've always wanted to do this. I didn't know how or why or when or where or you know, how it could possibly come about. But I ended up, when I graduated college, there was I wanted to be a news reporter, and there was only a sports reporter job opening. And so I decided to take it and figure I'll kind of spin my wheels until a news job opens up, and it never came about. And I ended up sticking to sports, and
wow.
I did sports for 13 years and I loved it and would have continued covering sports. I was sort of the second wave of female sportscasters. There was that first big wave that came in that went with the groundbreaking, mm-hmm. break down the barrier kind of wave. And then I was sort of that second wave that came in where it wasn't fully, you know, recognized to see women in locker rooms, but it was accepted.
Sure.
And so it was really nice to you know, blaze my own little trail here and there. And by the time I got to the Today Show, I was ready to move on and do something a little bit different, to open it up a little bit. And you know, I say I only have two skills, TV and, you know, fitness. So if, you know, if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing much. And thankfully, my personality allows me
sure.
to kind of go in between both. So that's where I'm at.
That's terrific. Yeah. As I say, I remember watching on the Today Show and thinking, wow, she's got terrific energy. And, you know, you're on the Today Show reaching millions and millions and millions of people. So that's it's a wonderful way to reach the population, all segments of the population.
And it's a good population. That Today Show audience, I mean, that was my demographic. I was kind of born to reach that demographic, you know, the whatever it is, folks that are interested in health and wellness, folks that are interested in being entertained early in the morning, that are looking
yeah.
for a little bit of good news. I
yeah.
never did the hard, hard news. I did the conceptual pieces, the fun pieces, the can you believe she did that pieces, like is she insane pieces. And then obviously I worked my way into the health and fitness because I was so passionate about it. So it was mm-hmm. so easy. It wasn't really doing work. It was doing what I did off TV, but bringing it on TV in a, you know, being able to open it up. And it was so many people responded so well to it. So I did it for a long time.
So it's that meant to be, you know, phenomenon. I talk to people about a variety of different things and they say, you know, I just started it and these things came across and I worked and, you know, it just came out to be what it was, which is terrific. You know, it's exciting to see, you know, that you were able to get into the career that you wanted to do that, you know, you were so passionate in.
No. I just gave you the Cliff Notes version of, hey, I was born and I wanted to be on television. And then, yada, yada, yada,
okay.
I was on television. There were so many more no's than yeses. There were so many more potholes than red carpets. It was, you know, I learned from a very, very early age that the nose, all the nose, I had to use as fuel and as fiber, right? I could never be tripped up by them, because in this industry, or at least when I got into it, if I gave up or if I said, okay, it's too much for me, you know, I'm going to step aside, there were, you know, 20,000 women just like me that wanted to be sportscasters that would have slid right into my place. And I was too competitive, too fired up. There was that fire burning in my belly, and it was too powerful for me to kind of walk away. But, you know, it's an interesting business, and I did have to sort of carve out my own niche. There weren't a lot of women when I was doing this. There were a lot of naysayers, and there was a lot of convincing I had to do. There was even my first internship, you know, I tell this funny story. People, oh, how do you get into the business? And I was at college and I got on my bike because my parents didn't get me a car. And I put on my best outfit, which was a ridiculous outfit. And I biked down to the TV station. It was an NBC affiliate in Binghamton, New York. And I knocked on the door and I was like, hey, and the news director opened the door to the TV station. I was like, yeah, I'd like to intern for you. And she's like, that's adorable. You need to go to the university and get English credit and sign a million papers and you have to apply. And it was just like words, words, words. So I said, I was like, all right, I'll be back. And she's like, all right, good luck. And I went and there was a long line and I talked my way in and I may have taken the form and I did this and did that. And I came right back before it had to be in. And long story short, I kind of finagled my way into that first little internship and then I never left. Wow. You know, I made it so that I became invaluable to them. Wow. I taught myself jobs that I didn't need to know how to do. I taught myself, you know, how to report and how to run audio and how to run graphics and things, produce and edit, all the things that the other interns weren't learning. They were doing exactly what they had to do. I did what I had to do, plus everything else.
Sure, so when it was time to graduate. Yeah, most valuable worker, sure.
That's it. Well, they weren't going to let me go. However, they didn't have a job that I wanted, so I took this sports job. And I was very athletic anyway. It was a wonderful marriage of being athletic and loving telling stories and being able to sort of blend the two. So that's what I did.
So at the same time, you were progressing into fitness. And you wanted to bring that, you know, to the table and bring that to the crowd, the media.
Yeah. So, you know, listen, I covered sports. I covered these athletes. I went from smaller leagues to bigger leagues to, you know, ending up covering sports here in New York, which is the major leagues and the professional athletes and appreciating what they did and how they did it. And when I was, I don't know, in my mid-20s, I started exercising and it started in college. When I played volleyball in college and I never needed to exercise, I was always just in great shape and I was always naturally athletic. And the coach put us on this weightlifting program, which I thought was ridiculous because why would I need to, you know, put on any kind of muscle tone? And I saw very quickly how much it affected my, I played better. I became a really great volleyball player because I had put on all this muscle. And that sort of clicked with me that there's a correlation between the work you put into your body and what you get out of your body at a very basic level. So I started exercising and my best friend was getting ready for her wedding and asked if I would help her. I said, I don't know how, but you can come watch what I do. You can come work out with me for a couple months. And she worked out with me for 3 months, did everything I did. And she lost like 13 pounds and she, you know, toned up and she looked beautiful. And that was it. And then I absolutely fell in love with the transformation. And I said, this is what I want to do. In addition to being on TV, I want to help people. I want to help people go from where they are to where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And I realized quickly that the human body is really the only thing that we have control over, right? We don't control the weather. We can't control the traffic. I can't control how my kids are going to react to me yelling at them for the 15th time to tie their shoelaces. But if I want, you know, bigger biceps, it'll take time. It'll take energy. It'll take change my diet. It'll take work, but I can do that. If, you know, if I want to look a certain way, or if I want to feel a certain way, or if I want to get stronger or faster or whatever it is, yes, you can put the work in, but you will get the results.
Right.
You do have to put the work in. There's no magic cure, but if you do, you'll get the results. And I love that. I love that we have full control over this vessel that we are born into. You only get one. So why not make the most of it? And when you come to that realization, it is this like cathartic, wonderful feeling of, well, then why not? Let's just keep going. Let's just keep fueling it with good stuff as you know, as much as we can. Run out of willpower, but as much as we can, let's do it.
What's your typical day like? In other words, how do you start the day?
So this is really big for me. I think a morning routine is the most important thing you can do. And if you are looking to change one thing, I always say start with your morning routine, because that is the first hour of your day. And that will set the foundation for the rest of the day. So my alarm goes off the same time every single day, Monday through Sunday at 4:50. I am up, you know, brush my teeth, whatnot. I drink 20 sips of water right off the bat, hydrate. And then I make a cup of coffee. And while that's going, I do about 10 minutes worth of just light stretching exercises, just move around a little bit, open up my back, take a couple of breaths. Nothing weird, just, you know, I went from laying down all night to let's stand up and let's get your body used to mm-hmm. standing all day. And then I play one word game. Always, I do Quartiles on Apple News. I love it, but it could be Wordle or Connections or really anything. Yep, just one for about 15, 20 minutes. Then I look at my schedule for the day, and all of that takes about 1 hour. That's it. It's 1 hour. I'm up. I hydrated. I had a little coffee. I did some stretching. I opened up my mind. I played a little brain game. I looked at my day ahead. I set everything up. So now by the time I go wake up my kids, I no longer have to do anything for myself. Now I can work on them and get them out the door.
Okay.
If you wake up late, oh, I also make my bed, which I think is really important, or I try to make my bed as well as I can. Yeah. And then you're set. Now you've laid down your foundation. You can just build on it. The minute you wake up and you're late, and you know you walk into that the kitchen and there's dishes from the night before, or you're thirsty already, or you ran out of coffee because you didn't prepare, and you're waking up the kids while also trying to wake yourself up, you're already behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
and now the
yeah.
rest of the day, it feels like I'm playing catch up. I don't want to play catch up. Right. I want to be ready to go as soon as my kids are out the door and I start my day.
Right. So hit the ground running, yeah.
Hit the ground running. It's so important. And it's annoying to start, but it becomes a habit. And then when you don't do it, right, you miss it. And you're like, oh, something feels like I'm off, right? Because you didn't lock into that morning routine. That to me is the most important thing you can do. Whatever yours looks like, it doesn't have to look like mine. But mm-hmm. if you can have a routine that you do every day, that you will miss it if it's not there, with a little hydration and maybe a little stretch, a little breathing, something to wake your brain up a little bit. I'm telling you, it does wonders for you yeah. throughout the course.
It's important. I tell patients all the time, you have to get the blood flowing. And in doing so, people don't realize that you're going to flood oxygen, vitamins, minerals, and hormones to all your cells. Of course, you know, we test for vitamins and minerals and fine tune and perfect all of that, the hormones as well. But as you get up and you start your day with that blood flow, then your day starts far greater and your body is just amplified. And you can get through the day so much better.
Sure. And then by the time I'm ready to exercise and work out, I've been up. I've moved around a little bit. I had something in my system and I'm ready to go. It's not like I'm waking up for the first 15 minutes of the workout and I'm exhausted.
Right.
So
right.
I truly, truly
start by.
Pardon me?
You'll get a much better result because your body's already warmed up. And to say mentally and physically, you're already warmed up. So when you get to the exercise, of course, you do get a better result.
Yes. Whatever that exercise is, whatever you're doing, again, it doesn't have to be specific, but if you put some boundaries up there and you just set, you know, lay some sort of skeletal framework of how your morning's going to go, you'll be surprised how much better you feel over the course of the day.
What sort of exercise do you like to do? What are the different activities that you feel the best with and you'd recommend to your clients and to people that talk with you?
So I'm still personal trained. I started training when I was 26, 27, and I turned 50 this year. So I have been training a whole variety of clients for, you know, over 25 years. And so they're all different at different levels, different fitness capabilities, different goals. And everyone needs something different, but I fell in love with and have really weaved into training with my clients body weight work. We have great muscle. We have all this, like I have 130 pounds to play with a body weight and I use every single pound of it on my frame. So I have, I get creative with stuff because I don't want people to feel like they can't work out if they don't have something. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be an excuse that I get all the time. I didn't make it to the gym. I really don't have enough space at home. I only have 15 minutes. You know, it's freezing outside. You give me an excuse and I'll tell you why it's not an excuse.
Right.
So I kind of put together all these really creative, fun body weight exercises. I mean, you know, you start with your standard push-up, squat, lunge, whatever it is, you know, and then you add all these like fun things to it. So you're moving your body, you're stretching your body, you're getting your cardio up, you're using strength. And then slowly I have obviously added weight to it. 2 days, 3 days a week, I really lift heavy for me, and that's important to me. Or for my clients that are in menopause right now or perimenopause, I have them lifting a little bit heavier, 2 or 3 days a week. Otherwise, you can do wonders with your body weight that people don't realize in any time frame that you have. You give me 10 minutes, you'll be sweating. You have 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 100, whatever you have and whatever your space looks like, whatever time you have, wherever you are, I promise you. So we used to do these like challenges at the Today Show. They would sort of drop me somewhere and I would have to, without knowing where it is, come up with a workout in a bathroom or on an airplane or in a hotel room, in your living room, whatever it is, to show that anytime you don't want to move, that's just an excuse that you made.
Right.
Because there's literally, I mean, I broke my leg. I was in a cast, like one of those casts that like 12-year-old boys have, you know, that's like up to your, with the crutches. Like, who gets that at my age? And I never stopped working out. You know, I took a year off from having surgeries and I tested positive for BRCA and never stopped, except when the doctor made me. So there's no reason not to move. I'm not saying that's the end all be all to how you can be successful, but moving is so important, whatever movement looks like for you.
It's the cumulative benefit of doing multiple different activities. It doesn't have to be, you know, lifting heavy weights for an hour, you know, once or twice a week. If you do cumulative benefit from doing a little bit of cardio, a little bit of stretching, a little bit of weights, Pilates, yoga, it could be any number of things. At the very least, we tell people to just do something to get your blood pumping. And for a lot of patients, I tell them if the weather's okay, go out and walk around the block, you know, for a half hour, 40 minutes. Slow initially, then brisk, then fast, slow, brisk, fast. Just keep doing the activities so your body's really getting all that great blood flow.
Yeah, get the heart rate up, come down, let it get used to recovering. Absolutely. Love that.
How did your body change, or what did you see in terms of your body changing after you've had your kid? You have two children.
I have two kids. So up until I had kids, you've heard this a million times. For a lot of people, not for everyone, but for a lot of people, it was much easier, right? If I wanted to lose 5 pounds, it wasn't easy to do it, but I knew how to do it, right? I had to just tighten up the diet a little bit. I had to eat, be a little cleaner, move a little bit more. It was easy. And then I had kids, and it was the first time that I understood the challenges of, this is going to require a little bit more work to get to where I want to go. And it took a little longer, but I got right back. And then, and so I didn't have as much sympathy for people that would say, I'm the last 10 pounds, the last 15 pounds, the last 5 pounds, you know, whatever it was, until last year. When in February, I tested positive for the BRCA gene and I had to go through some prophylactic surgeries. I had a hysterectomy and I had a bilateral mastectomy. And I had to start from ground zero, like literally right back down to doing nothing for 6 weeks. And, you know, there was a lot of recovering that I had to do. And in that recovery, I lost a lot of muscle. And I looked at myself for the first time and said the same thing I always said, okay, it's going to be an uphill battle, but let's do it. And it hasn't really gone back to where I was. And I understand that the hysterectomy kind of threw me into this like artificial menopausal state, whether I was there or not. And so I was sort of battling hormones at the same time. And I had to really change course for the first time. You know, I had to lift a little more weight. I had to really watch what I was eating. I had to make sure that I was not sitting still for too long. I had to work with hormones. I mean, it just became far more thought had to go into, you know, exercising and eating and, you know, maintaining my lifestyle than it did before. And I really now have complete and utter, you know, compassion for people that are struggling or compassion for people that are trying, you know, but failing sometimes to get what they want. It's not nearly as easy as it used to be for me. And I'm still struggling with it. I mean, I have to work very hard. You know, people say to me all the time, like, oh, you're so lucky. You know, no, I'm not so lucky. I worked for all this. My parents aren't pro athletes. I didn't, you know, I wasn't born into a family of, you know, high rate metabolist people. I'm just like everybody else. I just have to really, really, really work hard. And when I had kids, I had to work harder. And then when I had the surgeries, I had to work harder. And what you put in is what you get out. I mean, you've heard it a million times. It's not just a saying. It really, really is. You know, the more you put in, the more I promise you get out of it. And then success begets success. And when you start seeing a tricep, when you start seeing like a little muscle tone, you see a few pounds lost or whatever your goals are, you want to keep going and you want to do it again. That's when I talk about the routine. It feels good to do all these things. It feels good to eat well. It feels good to exercise. It's hard. But when you wake up the next day, you know you did it the day before. Mm-hmm. Boom, I want to do it again.
Sure.
And when you don't.
It's reinforcing, sure.
Yes,
what do you think? Absolutely. What is your favorite mechanism or your diet to help to lose weight? And do you feel you have to eat perfectly to lose the weight?
Absolutely not. Nobody should have to eat perfectly. If you want to, great. Knock yourself out. But you shouldn't be miserable. Nobody should go through this life being miserable. So there's this like beautiful compromise that we should all be making with ourselves. You know, obviously, the better and the cleaner you eat, the better you feel, the easier it is for your body to recover, to move, to function. That being said, don't deny yourself some of life's pleasures because you're on this endless quest to who knows what you want to, what you want to achieve, what you want to be. But, you know, I mean, I'm in the 80-20, 70-30, 80% clean, 20% not as clean. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not eating fried foods. I'm not, you know, sitting down to three scoops of ice cream. I mean, if I needed to, or I wanted to, I could, mm-hmm. but it's really hard when you have kids to eat exactly the way you want. There are too many people with crusts and there's too many rice cakes with butter on it or a baguette with butter that they don't finish. Or why would you not eat the crust of the pizza? Please explain to me how they can eat three bites and like, I'm full. You can't be full. I've never experienced that. If there's pizza on the plate, it is mine to be had. So I
good.
Am
good for you.
Right. A lot of protein. I try to eat foods that keep me full. So I sneak in protein wherever I can. I get flavorless protein powder. So I will mix that into coffee in the morning. I will throw a scoop into, not everything is going to appeal to your audience, but I'll throw a scoop into scrambled eggs. I'll throw a scoop into cottage cheese. You know, I'll mix it up with anything. You'd be surprised how easy it is to really get some protein.
You don't have to follow what the food companies make you think that you have to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so many of my patients, when we cut their carbs back a bit, they say, wow, bloating's gone. I don't feel that indigestion, bloating. I don't feel that headache. I'm not falling asleep after, you know, a big carb meal. So for a lot of people, and included, you know, the GMO effect of the carbs, you know, can affect your symptoms. But cutting back the carbs decreases that insulin sugar spike, which causes you to make more insulin, which knocks your sugar down and makes you crave and feel anxious, irritable, panicky, and tired. So a lot of people, as we cut that back, that helps. I tell people first thing in the morning, I'll have a protein powder, put that into coffee, stir it up, and I'll have a couple of vitamins, et cetera. And that's a great way to start the day because you're really getting great organic protein, vitamins, minerals. I take a 10 mushroom extract. So it's a great way to start your day with really clean, as you say, clean, you know, foods.
Because you feel better, right? There's a difference between, you know, going out on a Saturday night and eating a ton and feeling heavy and bloated and sluggish and then just going right to bed. You wake up the next morning and you feel that, as opposed to eating really healthy. You wake up, you feel good about yourself. You feel successful. So a lot of that. And then, you know, when there are ways to, you know, if there are ways to eat well around the kids, if there are ways to sneak it in with them, I do the same thing.
Sure.
But I don't, I've not said goodbye to any one particular food group forever. As much as I try to avoid sugar, there's always going to be some sugar. There's always going to be carbs. Right.
So I don't handle, smaller amounts of it. It's just that people that have, you know, a significant amount of carb with every meal are just, you know, battling a horrible uphill battle. So I'm not saying people can never have fruit or bread or pasta or these things. You know, have them here or there, have them as you like. But if you start to cut them down, you feel good and you're losing weight. You know, it's more of a stimulus to continue going.
Absolutely. I agree. That's how I feel.
So you were born in Jamaica.
I was born, Dr. Chris, right across the street. You're not going to believe this. Literally across the street from Bob Marley. So, Lester and I went back to Jamaica one year. You can even see it. We'd walk out of my front door. I lived in an apartment complex. And literally three steps across the street was Bob Marley's. Wow. It was his house at the time. Now it's like this compound. And but at the time, he was just a crazy guy that smoked all the time and played odd music, is what my parents used to tell me. And that was it. And I was like, so wait, when you met him, what? We didn't meet him. We were like, don't smoke around the kids. I'm like, you were those people? That's great, Mom. That's awesome. Thank you. My dad had my dad was one of the first leather button makers in the world. He made like leather buttons for winter coats. We had a factory in Haiti. Then if you saw the Bob Marley movie in like 1978, 79, the country was, it was just, there was so much political strife that they were forced to leave. So they, in making another wise decision, went to a very safe country called Haiti, which they thought would be safe, which was for a while. So we were there for 10 years.
Wow.
And then that country basically imploded. So we moved up to the United States in 1989. Yeah.
You must have had a lovely accent as a child between the two countries.
What's that?
You must have had a lovely accent as a child between the two countries.
Oh, it's so funny. We have these little audio tapes of when we were in Haiti, our house burnt down when I was, I forget how old, and we lost all these like memories and all these like home videos and whatnot. But they kept a few audio cassette tapes. And there was this beautiful green, yellow, orangey kind of grass outside, no pun intended, in our courtyard in Jamaica. And I used to think it was sweet and I would put it in my mouth. Don't ask me why. So there was this cute little tape that my dad would play for me at night when we moved back up here. And my dad would say, "Now, Jennifer, why are you eating the grass?" And I would say, "Oh, but Daddy, what a great way the grass tastes." In this like little cute Jamaican accent. I was this like 5-year-old running around. I never put a shirt on. I had a little bathing suit bottom.
That's speaking great.
This like little Jamaican. It was the cutest thing.
That's great. It's terrific to see, even on lots of social media, people all over the world will videotape children, you know, either arguing in another language, and some of the, what I've seen is in Italian, it's French, it's gorgeous, it's wonderful.
That's so funny. That's exactly what I was going to say. So when I went to Haiti, I spoke French and Creole, and there was a lot of, when I would get mad, "Oh, I'd get so mad," but it would be in Creole, or in French, it was just really cute.
Oh, wow.
But, it was a fun, it was a great experience. And I chalk a lot of my drive and my tenacity, my willpower to the upbringing I had outside of the country. I didn't grow up with any of the fun things. I mean, everything was like before 89 and after 89. So like before 89, the fanciest thing we had was like cornflakes. If the American government sent it down to Haiti, you know, we wore uniforms. I didn't speak colloquial English. I never saw a Rubik's Cube. I mean, you think about all the things that you don't have until you move up to the United States. I mean, I couldn't believe.
It creates a lot of strength and character and drive and ambition. It creates a lot of things. And I could look back at my family on, you know, both sides going all the way back. And yeah, they didn't really have much, but they were strong, stable, always willing to help other people out. You know, they were integrated into the community. It was just great, great stuff. And all the kids that have all these things today just don't have any of that connection to other people. People barely talk to each other now. It's very odd.
Right. And I, you know, there's something to growing up wanting stuff, not just growing up having stuff.
Right.
Like it's okay to want, you know, I tell my kids all the time, "Can I have this?" I'm like, "No," they're like, "Oh," I'm like, "It's okay to still want it."
Yeah.
You can't have everything that you want.
Right.
They're like, "Mom, you," but I, you know, I got pulled from my school in Haiti. We left in the middle of, we were out of school for, the situation in Haiti was even more dangerous than it was in Jamaica at the time. And they had closed schools and there was the American government came down and sort of kept us all in place. And then they tried to get everybody out when things were going haywire and they toppled the government and whatnot. And finally, one weekend, my dad flew up to the States. He flew in, drove to Chappaqua because it was near where my grandparents lived. Mm-hmm. They signed us up for school on a Monday. And on Tuesday, we left sort of in the middle of the afternoon. My mom came home from the supermarket and there were bullet holes in her car. Like she got caught up in crossfire. And my dad said, "That's it, we're gone."
Wow.
So we sort of left in the middle of a week, in the middle of a day, in the middle of a school year. And it was very jarring for me as a kid. And I couldn't quite catch my proverbial breath throughout high school because I never really got there. So all I had to rely on was my athleticism and my personality because I didn't look like the other kids. I had like curly hair. I didn't know how to do. I had you know, bad skin. I had braces. Like I didn't look the part of who I knew I was inside. Mm-hmm. And I signed yearbook senior year, and I wrote to everybody. You can find anyone for my senior year. I wrote, "Save this. You may want to use it to prove you knew me before I became famous." And they all laughed, Dr. Chris. They laughed. They're like, "What are you going to be famous doing?" No one had any idea except for me. I said, "You'll see. I mean, you looked at me, you would agree with them." But I had this confidence and I had this drive and I knew that I was going to be somebody. I wasn't quite sure who or how, but I think that came from the way I grew up. Sure. And wanting and working towards everything that I had. So
that's wonderful. Wonderful work ethic. That's one of the most important things that, you know, parents can instill in their kids to be able to make them happy and healthy and successful. It's all about that. What are the favorite things that you do now? I know you counsel a lot of clients. You do consulting for different businesses.
Yeah. So when I was at the Today Show, I was very lucky that the platform gave me an opportunity to use my voice and share it with a lot of different people and with other groups. And I started, you know, giving speeches, motivational speeches. I wrote a book. I got to do a few little things. But then I left and I did a whole bunch of other stuff. And now I really kind of have started going back to that because I like communicating one-on-one. I like being on stage. I like seeing people right in front of me. I like commanding their attention so that I can impart what has worked for me. You know, if there's a way that I can have you avoid going through or making some of the mistakes I made, that's great. Yeah. So I have been doing a lot of speeches. I host a lot of sort of award ceremonies and things for different groups that I really believe in, cancer groups, BRCA groups, women's groups, young girls on the run, empowerment kind of things, hosting, moderating panels, just things like that until I figure out exactly what I want to do next, which is, still continue to go back to basics. I kind of feel like the comedian that had like a great successful show and then the show ran its course and then they go away for a while, then they come back and they go back and do they do stand up because that's where it started and they love doing it so much.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I feel when I
live
get on
interaction,
stage.
Of course.
Yep. Or I start working, teaching a class or working one-on-one with a client. It feels that way. Or a company, you know, I'd like to start working with a company and or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll come where you are right now and I'll scoot you over and I'll start doing some podcasting.
Absolutely.
You just never know.
Absolutely. The possibilities are endless. I love chatting with you each time we've spoken on the phone. And now it's wonderful. We'd love to have you keep coming back and do more segments and things, you know?
I'm totally going to do that. So right before I got pregnant with my second daughter with Quinn, I shot an episode of Law and Order and it was great and it was fun. And I had shot a couple before. I think this is my second or third episode, but this one I really liked. Anyway, I was very proud of it, but they didn't air it by the time I somehow got pregnant and had the baby. I mean, we know how long that takes. So how long. Then the second day that I was in the hospital, so I had the baby, I think Quinny on a Wednesday maybe. And then Thursday morning I get a call and they're like, "Hey, you know, Jen, we're going to need you to come in and just shoot a pickup scene for the last scene." I was like, "Oh, well, that's really great, but I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pass. I'm literally in a hospital bed. I gave birth about 3 hours ago. I can't even believe I have my phone." They're like, "Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Could you be here at like 10? I was like, "No, I don't think you understand. It's not going to happen. I literally just gave birth." They were like, "We understand. And we are so happy for you. Is tomorrow better?"
Oh my
gosh.
Like,
"It's not happening today. And it's not happening tomorrow. I'll just let you know." Well, long story short, too late. I was there like 3 days later. They had to make another whole outfit, exactly what I had, but obviously like four times bigger. I was sweating like a pig, Dr. Chris, because the scene took forever. I had to pump. Yeah. I wasn't able to breastfeed. I was sitting on the set down in Chelsea Piers. I couldn't remember my lines because I could barely fit into my shoes. I was like, "This is not how I want people to see." I waited my whole life to do Law and Order. And now I'm like, "You ready for me?" I mean, you should have seen me. So I just want to say that if you see my episode ever and you're like, "Oh, that must have been a downtime for Jenna in her..." No, Jenna had just
birthed it probably was a makeup. Child. You were in great shape. It probably was makeup because they wanted to change the look. That's all.
Yeah, right.
And I have some great friends in the movie and TV business, so I could always introduce you.
Thank you. I might need it. Yep. I might need that. need another opportunity
my
to go
pleasure.
Back.
Why not reach out and try to do different things, you know?
Like myself. Thank you. Terrific. Well, I'm fascinated by what you do. You know, yeah. I used to not care or take as much time to really think about and overprocess the things I eat, the way I move, the where I'm heading, what could be this, that, the supplements, the vitamin. Like now I'm so focused on the correlation between what you do and how you eat and how you move and how you feel.
The fact and the science in this is very, very strong. So like, and I've been telling people this for 36 years plus, if we learn everything about your body, we look to see what your vitamin levels, mineral levels, hormone levels are, look at absorption, digestion, immune response, look at exercise, activity, cover the entire gamut, even exposure to things that are very damaging for you, heavy metals, et cetera. And we start to put together vitamins to correct the deficiencies we see in the blood test or correct hormones, minerals, exercise, all of these things. People do so much better because you're tailoring a protocol to that person as opposed to just randomly taking vitamins and randomly doing this or that. So it's a very big difference when you know the starting point and you know exactly what your body's doing. Some people have allergies to foods, and it may be a delayed reaction, so they don't know that the food's causing them a problem. So when you test via skin test and you find out, you take that food out, all of a sudden symptoms go away. So it's a great reveal. It's a lot of terrific information that we get.
You know, I say this, it's so interesting that you say that, because I say the same thing to people when I train them. They'll say, well, what's the best exercise? Well, the best exercise is the one you're doing, right? So it's really about what works for you and what you need and how your body moves. And if you have bad knees, I'm not making you do the same amount of squats as I'm making Joe over there do, who just has a bad elbow. So the same way that you cater and like contour a whole system for someone nutritionally, I do the same thing.
Of course. Exercise-wise, you get the best results, sure.
That's how they get the best results. Exactly.
Some people love to be runners and need to be runners. Other people get a better result because they can do the elliptical for a longer period of time and they feel good from it. So, and there's a million examples, but yeah, you have to tailor everything specifically to that person. How can people reach you? Do you have a website?
I have a website.
Excellent.
I got really excited, didn't I? I didn't mean to. You could have asked me anything there, and I think it was time for me to get excited. JennaWolf.com. You might want to write it down. It's going to be hard for
you
to remember.
That's perfect. Let me just. And you have books.
I actually really, I had a good time doing it because I took a trip down memory lane. I included a lot of clips from my favorite Today Show pieces that I hadn't remembered doing in a long time.
Yeah, of course.
And then I put a montage together of all my speeches. And sometimes when, you know, I'm feeling down on myself, I'm like, more me. And then I go on the website and I look at more me. No, I'm just, but there's all my information on there.
That's what people want. They want to learn. They want to see. They want to know what you've done. You know, it's wonderful information. You know, and I think it motivates a lot of people.
I want to be relatable.
Yeah, of course.
At the end of the day, I am a 50-year-old mother of two, making it like everybody else, trying to figure out how to stay fit, how to eat well. You know, how to get through the day without killing my children, roughly speaking. I think we're sort of all in this together. And if we can all help each other, you know, I think we've got this great community of people and we're all working on the same page.
Get as many people healthy as we can.
Love it.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program today. This is terrific. I can't wait to
get
up and out
pleasure.
There. And we'd love to have you back and just chat about things over time. So that would be wonderful.
Listen, I'm fascinated by what you do, and I would love to be my own sort of test case because I've never done that. I've never seen what works for me and what doesn't. I've never, you know, really kind of worked through any of that. So maybe we'll
set that up for you. Of course,
we'll try it.
We'll have you come out, come to the office. We'll show you everything, and yeah, it's great info. We'd love
to do that. We'd love to talk about it. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful day. It is my pleasure, overwhelmingly my pleasure, to have you here to chat with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Great. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you. Friends, if you like the podcast, tell your friends and family about it. You can go to the website, drcalipay.com. You can look at the podcast on YouTube. And we have other venues we're sending it to, Spotify, iHeartRadio, a variety of different facilities. So we would love for you to be able to see this. And the office phone number, 516-794-0404, if you'd like to call. Bye-bye now.